Thank you. I have New King James with me in this morning, and I know that you are using NIV, and please, if I'm saying different word, forgive me. Right, so we are in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 5. We are looking on the verses from 8 to 20 in this morning. And as far you know, this book was written by Solomon. He was the king in Jerusalem, and he is enjoying a good life, to be honest, because Solomon is the son of David. David was a warrior. He was a great man of state. He was the one who was just enlarged the borders of Israel a lot, and there was called like a golden ages when David was there, and because he was a warrior, nobody was staying in front of him. Starting from his young age, when he was beating the Philistines, and after that the Amorites, the Assyrians, and everyone was overcome by this great man, which was David, which was Solomon's father. So Solomon is becoming a king, and he is enjoying a life, a good life, as we can see in these passages, in these chapters which we was going through, and you just learn about how the life is under the earth. And he has time to meditate. He's not a warrior. He's not a man who is going with the army to go against the enemies. He has a big army. He has a good structure. He has good generals there. And he don't care about fighting. But he is caring for something else. And he said, what is the meaning of life? Why we are here and where we are going? And we can see that later on, that naked we are coming on this earth and we are departing as we came. In the chapter 2, it's an important passage there where he is talking about happiness. And I said, I try to find the happiness and I try to make myself happy. And I was trying a lot of things if that's working in my life. And he said, I was drinking a lot and I put my heart to be laugh and to laugh and to have everything what I have and what our eyes have seen. I was not stopping them, what my heart desired was giving to her. And I build up houses, I build up palaces, I build up vineyards, I build up gardens and orchards. And I have servants, males and females, and delight of the Son of Man. I have musicians. And in the end of all these things, he said, in the verse number 11, he said, all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. And maybe we are still running for these kind of things, and we are still looking to see, this is the place where we're going to find happiness. This is the things which already we're going to achieve them. We're going to give us a good standard of living, and we're going to have a great state of happiness. And he said, no, it's not. He said, I have all these things and doesn't work. That is something greater than these things. That is something more than is in the life. And in the verse number 8, he is talking about the oppression of the poor and the violent perversion of justice and righteousness in the province. And he said, do not marvel all these things happened, because the high officials watches over high officials and higher officials are over them. And he start talking about authorities, because this man was a very wise man. Was a lot of people coming to him just to listen to him, because he was the man who made justice in Israel. He was a good and right spirit of justice. He was like his father, David. Remember him, how soon he was able to judge and to say, yeah, this man deserved to be killed. And Nathan, he said, you are this man. So he has a very good spirit to make justice. And this was, I think, was inherited by from his father, from David. And we can see that he is talking about the hierarchy in society. And he said the officials, they have higher officials and higher officials. And he was the king. And he is the highest official in the state. And he said, this is the hierarchy. And he said, there is one over even the king. And this is the God. And if you are looking in the Old Testament, we can see a lot happening and coming as God is intervening and he is leading the nations. Starting with Abraham, we can see how God is intervening in the Pharaoh's life. When Pharaoh is taking Sarah, his wife, in his harem, and God is giving him a dream and he show him that he done a mistake and he is giving his wife back and they are deported outside of the borders of Egypt. He said, take your wife and go. We have Abimelech, which is another king, and he is in the same in Gerar. Avram is making the same mistakes, and he sees my sister, and he's taking Sarah in his harem, and he has another dream. And we can see how God is behind the scenes, and he is leading the nations, and how he's affecting and how he's controlling these kings by his power. And Abimelech, he was giving him to Abraham 1,000 silvers and lots of cattle and sheep and so on. He was not deported outside. He said, leave where you like. Just ask for God for forgiveness. Remember Nebuchadnezzar and how he dreamed into a night and we wake up in the morning, early in the morning, his sleep was left him, and he is anxious, he is impatient, he wants to know, he has a dream, he has a revelation, but he lost it. He just forget it. Was gone from his mind. And he is just willing to know what was that dream, why he had that dream. And he is asking all the magicians and astrologers and sorcerers, said, come on, tell me the dream, what I have dreamed. What happened there? And said, no one. Is no one on the earth who can tell the king what the king dreamed, except the gods which are living in the highest places. This is what the wise people from Babylon, they said. Imagine a boss like that who said, if you don't tell me what I dreamed last night, you're going to die straight away. This was Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel, as a young man, again, coming in front of the king, and he had no revelation. He has no dream. And he said, give me time, because I know the one who knows the dream. And this is the God of heaven. And he's introducing the God of heaven to the highest person in the society, in his kingdom. Because his kingdom was a very large kingdom from Egypt to Asia. And this was Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel, he's going and he's introducing his God. And Nebuchadnezzar, I think she was looking to him, said, you are going to tell me, who are you? I'm from Judea, from Jerusalem. I was in that place. I went in that temple where you are saying that there is a great God. And there was nothing. There was a table, there was some bread, there was a candlestick. Was nothing. I couldn't find your God there. How you are telling me that your God is a powerful God? Why I should believe these things? And Daniel, he is departing from this king, and he is coming back to him. And he said, God is the one who changed the times and the seasons. And he put and he removed kings. And he is over and above all the kings. And he is telling him his dream, his statue, and what he dreamed. He's not our subject. But we have a God who is leading the nations. We have a God who is above all kings. And Solomon is the one who is in position as a king to make justice. And he said sometimes it's not just, and sometimes the poor is oppressed. And do not marvel. But fear the one who is above you. Fear the one who is in heaven. And this is God who is controlling and who is behind all these kings. And we don't have the time to talk about Darius or Cyrus who is bringing the nation back to Jerusalem, to Israel, and others like Greeks and Romans, and about the stone who is stuck in the Greeks and Romans, and they just become like a chaff on the field, and it's becoming a new kingdom. That stone is becoming a new kingdom, and this is where we are standing today, in this kingdom of God, because we are part of this kingdom and we have this great God in heavens. Verse number 9, it's talking about the profit of the land. And Solomon, he was a good administrator, and he said, the profit of the land is for all. Everyone is receiving a part for what the land is giving, even for the king. And this is important to know, that we are part of this country, and we are contributing with our work, with what we are doing. And for all this profit of the country, it's on our benefit as well. Because Jeremiah is writing to the captives, and he said, don't stop crying. Start to build up houses, plant vineyards. Start to bless the place where we are there, and start to organize yourself and be again a great nation. And Jeremiah said, because of your happiness, depending by the happiness of the country where you live. So you have to looking for the country. You have to build up houses. You have to build up vineyards. You have to be partakers with the others in that country. And they did understand, because they have to build up and make businesses. They are Jewish people. I don't know if you have any Jewish people here, but they are very good to do businesses. We had Richard Vrumbrand. He was a Romanian. I don't know if maybe you remember him. He was in prison for many years. He was a Jewish man. He said, I made a deal. I'm Jewish. I'm pleased with that. So the Jewish people, they are doing businesses. And this is what we are told, and Solomon is telling, that the profit of the land is for all, and the king and for his people. From the verses number 10 to 14, we have a passage talking about silver, talking about the love, talking about how we have to follow or do not follow this kind of thing. So he said, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. And he said, this is also a vanity. It's important that Solomon is talking about money. I said he was a rich king. He had everything what he needed. When David is asking the Lord, I can see the Lord tabernacle, the tent of meeting is here, and we are living in the nice and lovely houses. This is not right. A spirit of justice. See, David. And he said, the Lord is telling David, he said, no, you're not going to be the one who's going to build up for me a house, but your son, Solomon, will be the one who's going to build up a house for me. Because he was a very influent king. He has everything, all the materials ready for him. And he is talking about the silver. And he said, he who loves silver will not be satisfied, because the money is always not enough. And if you have more, you're going to desire more. And if you have more, you're going to be more, who are going to eat this, as we've been told in this passage. So it's important to know what attitude we must have with money, because God was giving us money, and what we have to do with them. And first of all, we have to recognize that the money and the wealth and what we receive from the Lord, it's a gift from God. What thing which you have and you'll not receive it from me, says the Lord. So we have to acknowledge that we are just the administrators for these goods which we have. They are not, we are not their owners. And the money, they are not own us. Because when the money start to own you, you're going to be their slave and you're going to just work for money. But you have to know that you are just the admin there. And you have to just make the right decision for what you have. I remember the pastor from Romania, he used to say, I'm very greedy with the money from the house of the Lord, because they are not our money. We give it to the Lord, they are Lord's money. And we are responsible for the way how we are using this money, how we are administrating this money. And he said, I'm not greedy with my money, I'm generous with my money, I give for the Lord, but I'm greedy with Lord's money, and I want to know where the money are going, and if it's absolutely necessary. So we have to be responsible with the money. We have an incident in the book of Acts where Simon, he is becoming Christian, and he's following Peter and John, if you remember, when he is seeing that they are putting their hands over somebody and that person is healed and received the Holy Spirit. And he said, I'll give you the money. I can pay you to have this power. Then I'm going to lay my hands the people to receive the Holy Spirit. And maybe you remember Acts 8:18, and Peter and John, they rebuke him and said, your money will perish with you because you believe that the gift of God could be purchased by money. It's important to know that we cannot buy our future with the money. We cannot buy position in the church as he want to have with money. And the money are just for a right purpose in life. When you're giving money, how we have to give? We have to give it with joy. Yeah, because the one who is giving with joy is loved by God. So we don't have to say, we have to give the money this week. Give it how much you can, but give it with joy. And another point, how to give the money? Just give it with love. Because it's important to put love in what you are doing. If not, even if I give all my money for the poor, to feed all the poor, and if I give my body to be burned, said Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, doesn't profit me nothing if I have no love. So when I'm giving with joy, and I'm giving with love, because this is the things which the Lord is appreciate in my life. The Lord is a rich God, but he wants to see us, how we administrate what he was giving to us. And another thing, it's not just to give money. It's about giving yourself to God. When the Pharisees, they are coming to the Lord Jesus in the temple and asking if it's right for us to pay the taxes to the Caesar or not. And the Lord Jesus said, give me a tax coin. And he is looking to the tax coin and said, who is this image and whose belong this coin? And everybody said, to the Caesar. And he said, give it to the Caesar what belongs to the Caesar. And give it to God what belongs to God. So we know that we are belonging to God. We know that we are built up. We are created in God's image, in his perfect image. And we are his likeness. And by sin, we depart from God. We walk away. And we lost ourselves in this world. And God is the one who is asking us. And he's inviting us back to him to come and have peace with God. I don't know if you know God, if you know Christ as your personal Savior, if you met Christ one-to-one, face-to-face with Jesus Christ, if you have a time when you said, Lord, I want to give my life to you. This is what I done with my life, and my life was changed, was completely changed. And I'm so happy because I know my Lord Jesus as a leader and a Savior in my life. The verses 15 to 17 is talking about how we came on this earth as babies. Naked, we came on this earth, and naked we are apparently living this earth. We did not bring anything with us. I was seeing my little daughter, and she was born here it was in Ipswich Hospital, and she was naked, but she was a lovely baby. And we just enjoy to see her. And the passage here, the Solomon, he said, as she was not bringing nothing with her, this is the way how she depart. So we just think now, oh, so where is the point to be Christian? Where is the point to serve God, to sing, to do something for the Lord, take from our life and to serve him and do a ministry for him? Well, I'm not talking about yourself. I'm talking about the money and the silver, which you cannot take it with you. And this is the passage where we understand that We not brought nothing with us, and we are not taking nothing from this world. But how are we going to leave this world then? It's important to know how to die at the same time. Imagine yourself that nothing is going to help you in the point of death. When you are nearly to face God, nearly to see your Creator, the only thing which is going to help you in that moment is the faith in Jesus Christ. To know how to make this step in faith. To know that He is there for you. That you have to step up in faith. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm come to you. When we are looking to the Lord Jesus and how He died on the cross, we are learning how to die as well for our lives. We saw Him, how He died on the cross. Because He died on the public place. Everybody has seen Him. And we are amazed to see how God and His Son is dying there on the cross in that day. And the Lord Jesus, He was not scared because He knew it from where He is coming and where He is going. He has confidence and He has trust in God. He said, Father, in your hands I put my spirit. This is what we have to do when we are facing death, when we are in that point to go over from this world. Just pray to the Lord. Pray to God and put your spirit in His hands. The Lord Jesus was talking about the paradise. In the last minutes of His life, He is talking with somebody there on the cross, and He's talking about the paradise of God. What God is preparing for us as believers. And He said, today you're going to be with me in paradise, in heaven. And this is amazing, to talk with others and to make other disciples, even in that point of that, to see others are going to see your faith and how you are departing from this world. Because I said, you cannot take nothing with you. We are judging people based on what they have, what kind of clothes they wear, what watch they have, or what they car they drive. And this is the standards how we are judging somebody. But imagine that you have nothing and you stand before God. And what are going to benefit you? What you're going to have is just you and with yourself. Is that inner man from inside, as the Apostle Paul, he said, you have to grow in the inner man. And this is what you are taking with you. You are taking yourself and how you build up in the relation with God. We are growing and we are shaped based on the relations which we have. So if you are sitting with wise people, you're going to shape in that manner. If you are sitting with different people, you are going to be shaped in a different way. Because the relations, they are influenced, they have a great influence in our lives. And for the children in the school, they have such a great impact. This is the power of entourage in their lives, to know how to behave, how what to choose. Because their relation, they shape their future. And we have a relation with God. And this is shaping ourselves. If you don't have a relation with God, don't expect to live in heaven, in the kingdom of God, with God. Because you have to build up this relation with Him. You have to know Him as your Lord and as your Savior. And if you don't know Him, I'm sure one of the church leaders and I are going to be happy to lead you to Christ, to know Him more, to come and to confess your sins. And say, I want to be a new person, a creation, a new building, as the Apostle Paul said. And you're going to start and grow up in the man inside, in the inner person which you are. Because this is the only thing which you are taking from this earth. What you are work, what you work and what you've done for the Lord. And the last passage is from the verses 18 to 20, and Solomon is saying there, here is what I have seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor in which He toils under the sun all the days of his life, which God gives him, for this is his heritage. As for every man to whom God has given richness and wealth and given him power to eat of it, to receive it a heritage and rejoice in his labor. This is a gift of God. For he will not dwell unduly on the days of his life, because God keeps him busy with the joy of his heart. So we can see here there is a danger. We can see here that is a point that you just have can enjoy what you have. And the Lord said, enjoy the things which you have. And live happily with the life and with the wife of your youth and all that things which you are receiving from this passage. But in the verse 20, it's like a turnover. And he said, but don't forget that if you're going to go and appreciate all these things, and just all these things, just eating and drinking, enjoying the good life, you can be busy and you can lose your sight and can lose the God sight and to lose yourself. It's important to have balance in our life. And it's important to enjoy things. And we have to be joyful people, because this is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, actually. It's love and joy is the second one. So we have to see people who are enjoying things in life. We are not that people who are like a monks calling to just to stay and pray and fast and pray and that this is our life. We have to enjoy things which we have in life. And one of them is this kind of meetings as a church together. When we are coming to church, we are coming with joy in our hearts. Then other people and our neighbors, they see that we are joyful, that we are going to church. We have a Savior. We have a meeting with the living God there in that place. So they can see that we have joy. We have a joy to sing here in the front of the church. And inside, we have a joy to worship the living God. So this is the way how the joy is becoming in our lives. And the joy must be seen by others. Because this is the way how others said, oh, why you are joyful? Why you are always happy? Just because I have a risen Savior. Because I have a great God behind me. Why you are joyful even if you have tears on your cheek? When you are facing trials and temptations, we still can be happy. We still can do not lose heart, because we know that we have peace with God. We know that we have an anchor. We have that hope, which is the faith, which is keeping us connected with God. And we know that nothing can separate us from His love. And this is the blessing which I want to leave you in this morning, that we have a great God who is leading the nations, who is controlling the kings and the presidents and the prime ministers, and everything it's holding in His hands, because He is a mighty and great, great God. Remember Asaph in the Psalm 73 when he is saying, I'm looking to the wicked man and I see that they have no problems, they have what they have, they are just eating and drinking, and I'm coming to the temple every day and I'm doing your work, and I'm not as they are, he said, Asaph. Till in one day, when his perspective has changed, when he's seeing the things which other people are not seeing, and he said, until I went into your sanctuary, in the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. And you place them in the slippery places, and you can read at home the Psalm number 73. And to see how Asaph is seeing that God, and he's seeing the end of these people. And we have to live this life from the perspective of the end of the life, and how it's going to be, and to have a happy end with the Lord in glory. Amen. Shall we sing number 142? Lord, for the years you love has given.